All right, the Lord's Prayer. That's where we're going.
Hey Frank, if we're lagging, tell us, and then we'll try to find an alternative to plug in the.
Sure. I will let you know. Okay. Is this okay, or is this too small?
That's too small. The other one was good.
That's good, right? Okay. All right. Let's get started. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin this morning. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful summer morning where we are all excited to gather together and to read your word, to engage you, to know you, to be with you as a family. May your spirit speak to us through your word, and may your spirit bring to light all the things that that is in our hearts so that we may grow closer to you and that we may love you more. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. The Lord's Prayer. I think last week we were talking about giving to the needy, right? This is a new part as Pastor Alex kind of set the stage for us. This is a new part of the Sermon of the Mount, and it's really dealing with what we do, our righteousness, how we pray, how we help others. But even within this list of teaching and of his sermon, there is something to it. If we look deeper, it's hopefully it's more than meets the eye. Okay. If you hear kids in the background, they're screaming as usual. I have to tune them out. I'm practicing.
Actually don't hear anything. It's probably in your mind at this point.
Oh, it's probably in my mind. They're always screaming, right? So let's get to it because we got a lot of stuff to cover, right? Okay. All right. Matthew 6, 5 to 15. Can someone read that for us? Nice and clear.
Money, you want to read it? Go
ahead. You must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, and that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Thank you, Milton. Beautiful reading. Beautiful, beautiful. So we all know this verse. And for the next 2 weeks, I think we're going to spend some time, maybe 3 weeks, but we're going to spend some time in this section. And this morning, we're going to spend most of our time from verses 9 to 8. Okay, we won't get into the actual prayer until verse 9, right? How to pray. So verses 5 to 8, and this. I have three questions that we really will ask ourselves this morning to get to an understanding of what Jesus is talking about. Go to here. Can see that? This is the first question, right? As we look at the text, you have your Bibles in front of you, so you'll see the verses. And I have it right here, verse 5. That's the question that I asked myself as I was reading this part. That's the first question that came up. And that's the first question I want you to kind of think about as I'm talking, okay? This verse is assuming already that when Jesus was speaking about this, that the Jewish audience that he's speaking to, he's assuming that they're constantly praying already, right? Right? That's, if you're not praying, this verse probably wouldn't apply to you. But this is assuming that they are constantly praying. It's a very religious Jewish culture. They pray to God. There's nothing new. I think that many times when I was thinking about this, when I was younger, maybe not that much younger, maybe 10 years ago, I wouldn't struggle with this because I don't know if I want to pray in front of others all that much anyways, right? Have you thought of that? You struggle with this? I mean, if we have to be honest, not really. I'm like, I got this checked off. I can skip this passage because I don't really love to pray at street corners, stand up and pray, let everyone know, hey, let me pray and let me tell God about everything in front of others. In fact, I think I belong many times to the other end of the spectrum where I'm actually, I much prefer to pray in secret and not in front of others. So that's something to consider for yourself. That's something else. That's not what the passage is talking about. But it did, but this passage is helping me to uncover certain things, right? So I guess we have to ask ourselves this question. Why do we want to be seen? Not just in prayer. It could be other things. So this is the root of Jesus' question and Jesus' sermon here is we have to ask ourselves, why do we want to be seen? That's really important of anything that we do. In this context, it is prayer, but it could be anything else. Why do we want to be seen? Now, the Pharisees, they were focusing on getting the reward, as you see, right? That's what Jesus says. Hey, let me tell you this. You have received your reward already. Right? Pastor Alex talked about that last week about giving to the needy so that everyone knows. Well, Jesus says, you have received your reward. Now, they were obviously focusing on the reward. And when you focus on the reward, you forget the point of it all, right? When you focus on what you want out of it, you forget why you started to even do it, right? How many of you guys seen the movie Million Dollar Baby? It's an old movie. It's an Oscar-winning movie. Have you guys seen it?
Vaguely recall it, but yeah.
No way. Okay, that's a great movie. It's a boxing movie, right? It's about a girl who wants to box. And Clint Eastwood is the coach, right? He's the trainer. And he only trains guys. And the girl keeps on going. Hilary Swank is the actress. She goes to his LA gym. Say, I want to get trained. I want to get trained. He goes, I don't train girls. Only train men. He says, no, you want to train me. She keeps on going. So she trains. And one day, Clint Eastwood goes, okay, I'm getting really tired of you in my gym. So I'm going to just train you, right? He breaks down. He's an old guy, really kind of crabby and very serious. He trains her. And then the movie progresses to a point where he takes her to the match and she knocks the opponent out without much training. And weeks on end, she starts to knock the opponent out just within the first round, right? should just KO them. Boom, walks up, boom, left, right, left, and then just KOs them. And then by about the fourth or the, probably like more than that, probably the sixth or seventh opponent, there was a scene that she's in the locker room. She just knocked her opponent out in the first round. She's in the locker room and just kind of, you know, getting her bandages untaped, taking her gloves off. And Clint Eastwood said, hey, you got the breathing thing down, because she was having a hard time breathing. She kind of stopped breathing when she's like engaged in the fight. She says, so Clint Eastwood goes, God, I think you got the breathing. Oh, she says, I got the breathing thing down. He says, and he goes, you ain't breathing because you keep knocking them out in the first round. And then she goes, I thought that was the point. And he goes, the point is to get good.
That's a good, hey, that you sound like Clint Eastwood right there.
Yeah, that's how he's saying. I practiced all week for this, guys. I didn't even study the Bible. No, I'm
just kidding. Just studying the movie.
So the point, right? She says, I thought that was the point. Knock him out in the first round. So, you know, he get all the cheers. He goes, no, the point is to get good. So the point, the Pharisees were focusing on the reward and the praise, but they forgot the point. And we know what the point is, right? Without me even saying it here, we know what the point is. But again, I want to go back to this question. Why is it that we want the reward? Why is it? Why do we want to be seen?
So, so can I just share like an idea, like a framework to think about it differently?
Sure.
Because when I was thinking about it the week prior, this concept of hypocrite, right, is of the actor of those days, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's not only to, okay, I think there's a perspective to say, why do we want to be seen by people? But I bet that there's like 50% or more of our Sunday school class that they don't, like you said, like, I don't have that problem. I don't desire to be seen, right? For instance, I know the personality of some of the people in my family, right? They're not like, I want to be seen by people. But I do think that there is an issue because at some point in time, maybe I would change the word seen to like performance, you know? We fall into, in the church, a performance-driven performance-driven culture, right? I know as a family, right, when CJ dresses himself for church, it's very something. He just looks like he's homeless, right? And we're like, whoa. And I'm always like, hey, do you want to maybe change those shorts or pants? Because you look like you. He goes, no, I don't want to get my new stuff out, you know, like the wash stuff. I want to wear the stuff that I've been wearing all week, so I don't have as many clothes to fold. But sometimes I'm tempted to say, you know, maybe you should dress just a little bit nicer, right, for church. But like this morning, I'm not going to do that. So he wore a pink shirt and basketball shorts. And then it makes me think of when I was growing up, and my mom does the same thing. She doesn't say it's to be seen by people, but, you know, in order to, I don't know, like have the right.
Is it more like reputation?
Maybe reputation, right? I was just thinking about the word performance. Like we get driven by our own performance so much. And it's a performance-driven culture is like the opposite of grace-driven culture, right? So when you always feel like you need to perform, the reason why a lot of small groups or in churches, people don't really reveal their problems is because of the performance-driven mentality, right? Like, I'm not going to really share with you what I'm struggling with because my reputation, because I need to perform, you know?
Or people's perception.
People's perception, right? So there's a performance. So it's not like you're intentionally trying to be seen, like, oh, I want to be seen or I want to be heard in a certain way. I think it's when you know that people's eyes are on you in some way, shape, or fashion, there sneaks in a performance culture inside of you, right? So the reason I want to reframe that, Frank, is because when we say want to be seen, I bet if I asked some of the people, like, nobody wants to be seen. In fact, our church is very good at doing things in secret, right? Like, oh yeah, let's, you know, I only pray in secret. I only praise God in secret. I don't praise God out loud. I praise God on my own. But the reality is there's a hidden, when we know that we're at church and people are seeing us, it kicks in like a silent gear of performance. I can't let them really see like the vulnerable me, like the real me, you know what I mean? And so I think there's a question there. You see what I mean? So then our prayers become a little bit, it's hard to be as honest when you pray. It's hard to be as vulnerable when you pray. It's hard to, you know what I mean? Then I'm thinking that way.
Yeah. And, you know, I hear performance, I hear reputation, right? Acceptance. Here's what I wrote down, to be known for more than who you are. You know, when Jesus says, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. You're right. I don't think the word is really to be seen in the front of a stage.
Right.
Not many people are there.
Right.
Few are there, but that's a smaller percentage. But when you bring performance in here, how can performance be performed unless in front of others?
Right.
Right. You can't perform in secret. I guess you can, but no one would know. So I guess it doesn't matter. But Jesus is talking about any performance done by in front of one or two or a thousand. It's performance. And there's a, why do we want to be seen in that way? Or even when you mentioned CJ, does he wear, he wears what he wears, probably for himself. But when you want him to change, it's probably for others.
Right. Exactly. Right?
Somebody's got to see him. Yeah, if no one sees him, you could care less. He could be naked, right?
Yeah, there's a lesson there, right? There's a lesson there.
It is. Yeah. Good.
It was like, hey, do you want to dress a little nicer for church? Do you want to match?
Yes, because you want to be seen by others.
Right. But then his heart was like, why does God care? God doesn't care that I match.
He probably does not. Right.
I think so, about very simple, thing like when I was first really saved and I understood my salvation, in the youth fellowship, like people hated setting up chairs, and they didn't let me lead Bible studies. I remember, because they're like, you cannot lead a Bible study. You're like kind of not there. So I would have so much joy in setting up every chair, but, and I didn't care who saw. It was like, I'm doing every chair for the Lord. It's so pure. But somewhere like months down the line, I'm like, no one's setting chairs up with me. And I'm like showing people, I'm setting the chairs louder and louder. Am I the only one setting up chairs? Can you see? Somewhere the motivation inside to do right, to do good, like got polluted, you know?
Hmm. Yeah. And the word to be seen in this verse is to shine. Remember when the star was shining before baby Jesus up in the sky, and the Magi saw the stars. The stars was seen, being, you know, was seen by the Magi. The word is shine, to bring forth into light, to shed light. So this was the exact, this is the same word that Jesus is using here, is that you want to shine. You want to shine, perhaps to be accepted by others, to affirm our reputation, to be known. And back to what Pastor Alex was saying, if you want to do that, then you need to perform, right? I didn't write this in just now. I think we're on the same track. You need to manage those expectations then. And when you do that, it often leads to self-worship, right? So all of this is embedded into doing something so that you can shine. And to Pastor Alex's point, it could be doing something on stage so everyone can see. In fact, it can be doing something quite contrary, but different, so that you'll still be noticed. Oh, it's a tricky thing that, you know, our devious heart, our human heart, right? Just so everyone's having being joyful, but you're specifically quiet on purpose. That's also to be seen, guys, right? It's something in us that we want to perform to manage expectations, ultimately to draw attention to us, whether by silence or by sound. And this is something that Jesus is addressing in this verse. Interesting. So if that's not the point, which is to seek out our own reward, the superficial reward, then what is the point, right? If the point is not to knock someone out in the first round and get the praise, what is the point in this verse? Is to pray. Then the question is, why do we pray? Right? When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Why do we pray? Daniel, can you break us into small groups? Ask yourselves. Of course, church peeps, stay with the church peeps. Give us about 7 minutes and ask yourselves, why do we pray? Why do we pray? Why do you pray? Welcome back. Welcome back. What do you guys think? Mm-hmm. Why do we pray?
I'll speak for our class or our group here. That, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
That at least a few people that we're sharing here seem to reflect. One particular person seemed to really have this type of language in his answer, that it very much has to do with like connection, his
connection.
The bond with God. It's a the reason why he said he prays is, even though God already knows, right, it's to be able to like foster. It seemed like everything that he was saying seemed to represent a deeper closeness with his Heavenly Father.
Yeah, that's very good. I like that word, connection. Mm-hmm. Having a connection with God. Yeah. Anyone else? I see some head nodding. You guys agree as well to have a connection with God. That's a very intimate connection, right?
We talked, Frank, in our group somewhat about the people want to pray for certain things, like they want to get in a certain college, they want to get in a certain car, or something like that. And they really, then they get disappointed when they don't get what they want. But they have to have really the right motives when they pray. Not just want something, but the right motives. Maybe God will hear you. And sometimes he won't answer you right away, maybe a long time in coming, and not the way you expected, maybe not in an unexpected way.
Yeah, and you know, thanks for mentioning that, Scott. And we'll get into that probably next week in terms of how we should pray, right? Jesus would teach us himself. Right. But why do we pray? Yeah, I'm assuming that, you know, one of the reasons is sometimes we want something. So we go to God in prayer, and nothing wrong with that. You know, Daniel and I were sharing, and it's like we're in need of help. Who do we go to? We go to our Father who is able, right? Mm-hmm. That's simple. Yeah, when we need help, when we need something, we go to our Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
It's a communication with God.
Communication, yes. And again, while we were talking about communication in our group too, and it's communication, is it two way or one way?
Two ways.
Interesting. How God talks to you?
Well, you kind of like, you know, like when we make requests, as I say, we may not, sometimes, you know, you think that your requests are not answered, but then years later or later, you found that, you know, that is the best thing that ever happened to you. Mm. You know, I mean, even in my life, I remember one time I applied for a position at Rancho and I did not get it. I was so sad. I was like, but now 10 years or 20 years later, it's the best thing that happened to me, because when I stay in the old position, then I had the opportunity to shine, you know? So had I been in the Rancho, I would still be in the shadow of a lot of people. So I'm so grateful that God did not send me there. You know, he let me stay behind. But at that time, I was crushed because I didn't get what I wanted.
And when you were crushed, Aunt Kim, before years later, when you know the results, during that time, did God say anything to you?
Well, that was 20 years ago. You know, my growth, my faith is not that deep. So, but had it happened now, I would I would be more at peace than 20 years ago. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. You know, in our group, we were talking about communication, two-way communication. Unfortunately, many times it's one way, right? When you want a connection with a friend, with someone, with your wife, with your husband, with whoever, it's a two-way connection, two-way communication. But oftentimes it's just we telling God what we want. And he knows a lot about us, right? But do we know him? I mean, that's something to think about. You think that's getting the communication from God is just as important than us saying something to God as well, right?
Yeah, I think, Frank, there's a thing that you made me think of, which is, As a point of comparison, I know that like one of my favorite things to do at home is to share a cup of coffee in the morning with Bex, right? There are times when we have like a lot of things to talk about and to say and to ruminate over. And then there's sometimes where we just sit, you know, we have these two chairs either facing the front mountains inside the house, or we have two chairs in the backyard that look at the yard. And there's sometimes we just, I enjoy sitting with a cup of coffee. I kind of know I know who she is, she knows who I am, and I just enjoy that time.
I feel that that's a communication with like less words. And I don't know if it's like, you know, I don't want to make it sound like so like ethereal or super spiritual, but I know that there are times when I have a lot to pour out on my heart to the Lord, but there are times that I enjoy the most where I just sit with God and know that he knows me and know that he knows what I face. And I know because of his words, I know who he is and I know how he thinks of things. And so I think sometimes it's just sitting, enjoying the presence, right? Of just, and I just say like, God, you know all that I'm like frustrated about. You know everything that's going on in my heart, my delights. And I just wanna enjoy the time with you, you know?
Yeah. And like any connection with a person, sometimes the other person wants to talk too.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes God wants to talk to us too.
I think also sometimes when you pray, you, especially when you don't know what to do, or also when you face problem, you pray, you want to get some strength from God. Mm-hmm. Maybe God didn't really tell you what to do or how to do. You didn't get the answer. Mm-hmm. But through the process of pray, you feel you are close to the God. And then you got strength from God, and then you become more joy and peaceful.
And how does that happen?
Through the communication. Maybe at the beginning you are pretty sad, you're really sad, or you are really frustrated. You don't know how to deal some problem. Then when you talk to God, what problem you have, communicate with God, and then your heart become peaceful. And then you may, I think during this procedure, God may release your burden, and then you may take it easy. You think whatever happens is okay for me, as long as I'll do whatever God led me to do. So then you release your burden, then you can face the things more confidently. Yeah. So then whatever God arranged will be good for me. So then just let God decide what should I do. Then you feel peaceful, and you may just gain strength. Yeah.
Hey, Gushin, that sounds so simple, right? But I know there's something happening in there. I think we all know something happening in there, because God probably didn't say it in a loud speaker where you can audibly hear him, but something supernatural is taking place in your heart during that process for you to feel that peace when you say that, I know, you know, he tells me what to do, and whatever he tells me to do, I will do it. And I release that burden, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on in there, in that prayer. Yeah.
Yeah, you feel the spiritual working in that.
You feel the spirit working, right?
Yeah.
It's back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just one way. There's a connection that's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it's hard to put it into words, but you know, I think we understand what you're saying. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
That feels good when you have that connection. Did someone else want to say something? I saw FW. Is that Freeman? Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, I think that, you know, sometimes the most truthful prayer is done in private, cannot be in front of people, right? Because, you know, God wants to hear your frustrations and your anger or things that you're challenged with. Right? Whereas a lot of times in front of people, if your heart is not right, it's just a facade. It's just on the surface, right? But when the most truthful and most sincere prayers is when you have that connection and you're doing it private, actually.
Yeah, and you're not missing the point. You're actually wanting to pray, right? You want a connection with God, not for the, you're not managing or performing anymore. So that's a big difference. When you're performing a prayer, you have your reward. And I don't think that reward is that connection that we're talking about. So, you know, there's other ways to answer this. Why do we pray? But that's my simple big idea. The point is to go to the Father, right? That's why we pray, to engage, to connect. That's why we pray. Whether it be in pain or in joy, is just to go to Him. I think the point Jesus is saying is that the Father just wants us to go to Him. And if you go to Him in anything, there is a connection. And that's what He wants. He wants a connection with us. He wants to have a communication, a friendship with us, to engage with us. And God wants us to preoccupy ourselves with Him for all matters of life. So, Peter, I do agree with you that in secret is probably the most intimate times. But when we want to just go to Him, I think if we get the point of just going to Him and we just need to pray, but whether it's in the crowd or the public, then we do it. So it's not that we don't do it in public, but it's just that because we want to engage with the Father all the time, that if it just so happens to be in public at that time, then we do it. But if it's in secret and in your room, that's great too. The point is to go to Him.
Yeah, I think if you are, what I like about the text in verse 6, it says, go into your room and shut the door. And, it doesn't always have to be a literal door. I think the point is to shut everything else out for a while, just so you can engage and, like Alva said, connect with God. I think I like your point, Frank. It's when you practice a lot of secret prayer, when you're called on to pray publicly, it's going to be different. It's hard to fake it when you're often with the Lord in secret, you know. People probably could tell, right? You know, I think people know, like, we were watching a movie, something like that, right? And it was called Big Shot on Disney or something like that. But it's like one of the coaches said to the other, or the assistant coach said to the coach, like, don't be fake, because the girls will see right through you. And I think most people can see when someone's praying and it's like kind of fake. It's kind of sad. But when you're often with the Lord in secret, I think people could probably tell too, you know?
Yeah, it can be all like the right words.
Right.
Like, well, eloquent.
Right.
People that are close with God can smell it.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, it, right? You, it's but, yeah, the words are there, but yeah, wait, this is not real. Yeah, so I think when you're with the Father often in secret, it kind of spills into the public prayer.
And as I was reading a commentary of an old preacher that I really learned from, he used the word, you know, polished.
Yeah.
You know, nothing wrong with being polished, but most of the time when you're intimate with someone, it's probably not polished. It is true and authentic. Mm. And your prayers are not polished. People don't want a polished prayer. People want a deep connection with God, right? You're right. So then it gets away from all the superficial managing expectations and the performance side of things. And you get to the point of, oh, I'm just connecting with God, the Father, because I connect with him all the time. Whether you like my prayer, whether it's polished or not, I don't use the words that others use, but then again, it's the words that I speak to with God, and he knows me and I know him, right? There's something to that when we pray and just go to the Father. Yeah. And God says, the Father says, that he will reward you, right? That Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. That really captured my attention. Well, what is his reward? You definitely want that, right? So when we get rid of performing in front of others and we go to the Father, well, what's that reward that he gives? What do you think that reward will be? It doesn't have to be the right answer either, because this is just where God brought me, and he gave me a verse on what this reward is. But I am curious as to, you know, this is helping us to think, what do you think that reward is? What is your reward when you go to the Father in secret?
So I really like the picture that Pastor Alex put, you know, because that's kind of how I feel too. It's kind of just sitting. Sometimes you're just sitting and just waiting to hear from God. The verse, where is this from? Romans 8:26. Mm-hmm. Something I always remember is, because oftentimes, you know, when you're really comfortable with someone on a personal level, you can just comfortably sit, not speak. And actually, that is a connection there. So usually it's with your spouse or, you know, your parents. But with God, it's the same way. And the fact that we can go to him and the Spirit will intercede for us and to help us utter words that we didn't even have. I think the greatest reward is to know what is all in there. You know, God reveals it to you. So you're right. The reward is not always the answer prayer. It is understanding. That is just, you know, when we can realize that as the greatest reward, it really makes everything else, the blurry visions of what you thought you had as you went into that prayer, and coming out with a much clearer picture, that is a great reward.
So the reward, you're saying, it's clarity, right? Clarity, understanding of a particular situation.
Understanding from the Father.
Understanding of the Father. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's even a greater reward. Yeah. Understanding of who God is.
From the Father.
Understanding from the Father.
Oh, understanding from the Father. Okay. Can't hear very well sometimes. Anyone else? So Nancy, you're saying understanding that God understands you.
Well, I think I know that, but going into prayer and hearing words uttered out. it's a different thing. It's knowing what God wants me to hear too. So it's not just knowing God, it's knowing, it's almost this conversation happening because you're hearing what God has for you, the word that God has for you in that time of prayer.
Yes. So God is addressing you specifically at that time.
Right. And the amazing part is you went in not knowing what.
Yes.
The Spirit intercedes for you.
Right, the deep things of the heart.
You're a hot mess. You don't know why. You go into that prayer and God reveals, you know, I think that's
you come out. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That is something that Gushin was talking about earlier, right? That there's a connection. He doesn't know what, you know, you go to God with a problem, but he knows how to address, peel back the layers. You're all messed up. Like you said, a hot mess, but then he reveals something. The Spirit intercedes and bring to about something that you weren't even expecting. Yeah. Oh, that's a good reward. Better than man's praises. I came across this verse and it says what the reward is too, and it's very close to what Nancy is sharing in Genesis 15, right? The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. And I just love this verse when I read it because it talks about the reward. Right after Abram rescues his nephew Lot from these kings, if you remember, and he won the battle, and then he's bringing all the plunder from that battle along with Lot, and halfway returning home, he encounters Melchizedek, right? This king of Salem, right? And he gives him the tithe. You guys know the story. There's a lot in there. And then this is also right before God himself makes a covenant with Abram. You know, he tells Abram to cut these animals in half. And Abram falls into deep sleep. And then God makes a covenant with Abram saying, I will not leave you. I will fulfill everything. And between these two events, God tells Abram, do not be afraid. I'm your great reward. I myself will be your reward. I know what you want. Because guess what? What did Abram want at that time? He's the father of many, father of nations. He did not have a son. He wanted a son. God says, I know what you want. I know your distress. I know exactly what you want because that's what Jesus says. Your father knows what you need before you even ask him. And in the midst of that childlessness episode, God says, I'm your great reward. So what do you want? And it's okay to want, but God wants us to go to him, connect with him, engage with him. Just come to me. And he says, I think the Father is telling us today is that I'm your very great reward. Your very great reward. And that reward, as I was writing down anything that's, as I'm writing down a list of what this reward is, as you know, that the Father is my reward. It's everything I wrote down was antithetical to everything that the Pharisees were seeking after, right? The reputation, the being well known for something you're not. But God's reward, and as I write it down, was confidence, assurance. You guys mentioned earlier peace, contentment, joy, settledness, not hurried, valued, fully naked before him, being known, being comfortable, not performing, not managing my behavior, not polished. And that was my great reward. That's your great reward. God is saying, I am your great reward. When you connect with me, you have me. And that's not an exhaustive list. That's the list I just came up with as I was meditating. Right? He will be your great reward himself. You don't have to manage performance in front of others. Is that awesome? That's pretty cool, right? That unties a lot of knots and burdens that we have, at least for me, hopefully for you too. And next week we'll get into, Jesus knows this best, right? He knows how to connect with the Father the best. So he's going to tell us how he connects with the Father. Can I ask Gushin to pray for us today? Can you finish? Can you end this classroom with just quick prayer? Simple and quick.
Spirit, I never pray in English.
Oh, 用中文, 可以用中文, 没关系, yeah.
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for you. Let us have a chance to study your word. Your word through our heart. So we realize we need to always connect closely with you. The purpose we pray is not let others see what we are doing. It's not show off. The purpose we pray, we want to have close relationship with you and have a personal relationship with you. So through the prayer, we could realize what should we deal with what we face. And then we really know you better. And through the prayer, we praise you. We know your strength, your righteousness. We know your great power. So through the prayer, we could be really close with you. And then we also know what we should do. So we can realize for us, the most important things in our life is do whatever God wants us to do. So we could have a great future. We could do God's wish. Also, we put our pastor on your hand in our workshop. Let your word through the pastor's mouth go to everyone's heart. So we really know, understand your word. We could praise you and learn your word in the church. I think that's the praise through the, we pray through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.